from Northern California. It's the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear real stories from real inmates who want to write to you. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
All right, it's the exclusive interview coming up here in just seconds. Matthew Reynolds, Great Plains Correctional Center in Oklahoma. Matthew, this guy, I mean, he's done everything. You check out his profile at penpals.buzz. Dude's been a professional wrestler. He's been an animal behavioralist, and I'm talking, you know, working with rhinos and lions and albino monkeys. He does surgery on giraffes. He was a Marine, a toy store manager, a lacrosse coach, a World of Warcraft champion. He's got all kinds of stories to tell, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. You can check his profile and his photos out, too. He's at penpals.buzz. Just search for Matthew Reynolds, number 201-4486. We've got him calling in here momentarily, but before we do that, I thought we should introduce a new segment to the Prison Pen Pal podcast for 2026, a segment which we're going to call
The Phone Call of the Day.
And it's not as sinister as it sounds. Phone call of the day today, a lady named Brenda called us here at penpals.buzz. It's 888-2-PENPAL, 888-273-6725. She left us a voicemail, and that's kind of interesting. Let's just listen, and then we'll talk about it after.
Yes, my name is Brenda. I sent money in to have my son put on your lotofprisoner.com, and I can't find him on there anywhere. And it's been months, and they said through a text they would get back with me. They haven't even sent him an introductory letter to the prison he's in. The money's been paid now for months, and he still ain't on there. I would like to know why.
So there seems to be some confusion in the prison pen pal world when it comes to customer service. See, we're the only company that actually provides a telephone number where we can be reached directly. You can talk to a human that actually works here at our corporate office. You're not talking to somebody in India, but with Right a Prisoner, with Pinnacon, there's no phone number at all. You can't get through to anybody. So we end up getting so many complaints every day. And Daisy, man, she's up front. She's got to field all these calls. And she's the nicest person ever. But some people call very, very angry because of something that Right a Prisoner did to them or something that Pinnacon did to them. And I'm just here to set the record straight. We are penpals.buzz. We care very greatly for our customers, for incarcerated men and women and their families. We want to help. And if you do have a problem with another site and you call us and you're polite, we'll do our best to help you out. We'll get you, you know, to the right place to try to fix the problem. But we're not Right a Prisoner. We're not Pinnacon. So please don't yell at us. Don't yell at us. Don't scream at us. I can't stand it when you scream. It makes me very angry. It makes me so angry. I can't even be. I'm such a nice guy. I can't be angry. But this guy can.
It makes me very angry.
It makes me very angry. No. I still can't do it. Still can't do it. 888-2-PENPAL. You can get through to us via email as well. podcast@penpals.buzz. That's podcast at penpals.buzz. If you'd like to be on the show, if you have questions, comments, suggestions, maybe you have an incarcerated loved one that would like to share their story on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to jump right into Matthew Reynolds. He's at the Great Plains Correctional Center in Oklahoma. Nothing great there, just the name. What's happening, Matthew?
I'm just dealing with this sentence. I have a little less than 14 years left to go. Hard to wrap your mind around, but I think I've managed to do that by now.
Yeah, man, I got 15 years back in the day. This was 2008, and I remember when I saw my paperwork in 2008, and they had the release date of 2023, and I was just like, oh, holy crap. Like, it didn't even seem like that date was possible. It was so far away. I don't even know, but somehow I made it through. It's just 3 years in is better than day one, I suppose.
Yeah. For sure.
What's a typical day for you like in there? You mentioned you worked at night. What do you do for working?
I have the wonderful pleasure of washing the trays that they serve the meals on.
You get to snag any free food while you're, like, if you're washing, like, the chocolate cake tray, could you just, like, snag some extra frosting? Or
yeah, you know, at first I kind of thought that was really disgusting.
It's different, right? I mean, I remember a guy used to pull cookies out of the front of his pants and sell them when he'd sneak them back from the chow hall. And it was like, ooh, I don't know if I want that cookie. But eventually you're like, damn, that cookie looks good.
You don't want to know where that cookie was before then.
Exactly. But I want to know about your past, man, because this is like crazy. It's the first profile. We've got thousands of profiles. I've never had a profile of a dude standing with a giraffe and someone that's worked with an albino monkey. How did this all come down with your animal background? Tell me the story, man. It's so cool.
Well, I mean, growing up, I really loved animals. There was a point where, I don't remember why, but my family wanted to get rid of my Rottweiler. So I slept in its kennel with her so that they couldn't do it without me knowing. And eventually they gave up after a few days.
Oh, that's awesome.
I kind of got away from it, though. In high school, I got distracted by girls and other goals, and I ended up joining the Marines. I was in that briefly. I couldn't stay in it, to be honest with you. It wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
But after I got out, I just got a job at Sherwin-Williams. I worked really hard. I learned as much as I could to be an actual expert. You know, they say ask Sherwin-Williams, and most of the employees, I'll tell you right now, don't ask them. But you could ask me.
Can I sing it? I can ask how, ask now, ask Matthew Reynolds.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I actually was on vacation after doing that for a while. We went to SeaWorld, and there was just a moment where everybody else was kind of off doing something else, and I drifted off to this keeper talking about a tortoise, and it just made something click in me. I was like, that's what I need to be doing. How did I get away from that? So when we got back from vacation, I enrolled in school. I found ways to get experience through volunteering. Eventually, I quit my job and took a very, very low-paying job to get in at a veterinary clinic. I worked as much as I possibly could. And
kind of worked your way up from there. So from the point of SeaWorld until you were actually assisting with surgeries at the vet clinic, how many years or how long did that take to work to that point?
It was probably a year before I was assisting with surgeries. I found an opportunity to go to Africa at a rehab facility for orphaned and injured animals. And it was really amazing because I got there right after they had taken on a baby hippo.
Oh, wow.
That had been stuck in a well.
Got stuck? Like, did it walk into the well?
Yeah, somehow it fell into the well. I don't know the exact logistics of that. Yeah, so there was a pond that we dug out for her. So she had her own pond. I get to go in the water with her. You know, I measured her teeth growth. We kept not measuring her weight. She was fed every 3 hours around the clock. And when I first got there, we split the feedings. Certain people were responsible for certain ones, but unfortunately, some people were forgetting. And so I was like, I'm just doing every single one. She had a special bedroom that we'd walk her to at night. That way, a leopard couldn't come in and kill her because they were around.
Oh, man.
Hyenas, hyena dogs, and whatever else you can imagine.
That's intense.
We had just a mattress on it. It's almost like a cell, honestly. It was just a bare concrete room with a mattress. But we would sleep in there with her. Of course, the mattress was meant for us, but she had other ideas. So usually I was on the concrete and she was on the mattress.
So, man, so most guys, I mean, we see hundreds of profiles every month in here. And most of the time we'd read one like yours and just think, this guy must be delusional or making up stories about his past. But I mean, all this stuff is true. And that's what's like mind-boggling, because I'm like, there's no way. Like, Daisy's doing your profile and she says, oh, this guy was a Marine and a toy store manager and he works with lions. And I'm like, there's no way all this. And then it's like, oh, my God. And then we look it up. And I mean, it's all true. And there's pictures to prove it, you know, and they're not AI. Pretty impressive, except one thing really bothered both of us. And we thought maybe there's something wrong with this guy. So I'm hoping you can clear this up. There has to be some answer to this. It says that if you could be any animal in the world, you would want to be a squirrel. And we can't figure this out, Matt. This is very odd.
I mean, they just seem so free. They can jump from tree to tree. They can run around the ground like better than any athlete.
I mean, because most people would be like, I want to be a bear. I want to be a lion or whatever. But you never hear squirrel. I do appreciate your love of Kerry Russell and Felicity, because I, too, had a huge crush on her when I was growing up. And when I was in college, Felicity came out. And so I could relate to that entire show. People thought it was fake or scripted. I'm like, this stuff really happened in my dorm. It's like the same story of my dorm. And now I'm watching Felicity And I thought she was beautiful. I preferred the long hair, but I'm older now, so I'm not so picky. Yeah. I appreciate that Kerry Russell they're divorced now, but at one point married a carpenter, not a celebrity. And that gave me hope that just some normal guy like me could one day have a beautiful celebrity wife. Which never happened, but the hope was nice. And we talked about your World of Warcraft. So you're a big Warcraft guy. Man, I'm so old. I'm dating myself. But, dude, I was playing Warcraft 1 at the end of 1994. And we were playing on a 14.4 modem in our dorm. And I have some crazy memories of that. But that was like 31 years ago. You're playing the more modern version, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it's still over 20 years old, though.
I'm terrible at the game, so like the first one that came out, I was the best at because there were fewer things to learn. And but the funniest thing we did, we had this roommate named Eric, and he had just met this new girlfriend, and he was going to invite her over, teach her how to play Warcraft. And this is like cutting edge stuff back in 1994. We went in and adjusted all the audio files so that the peons and peasants would talk back to him. So when he'd tell them to chop wood, they'd be like, go chop it yourself. And so he's teaching his girlfriend, and like, we have this all set up, and like, he's like, I don't understand why they're telling me this. The peons would talk crap to our roommate. It was just so fun. I couldn't play the game very well, so I amuse myself with horrible things like that. And that's why I'm here now.
I've played an insane amount of it. Back in the day, anybody might know, in Burning Crusade around 2006.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was voted top shaman on my server.
Don't you wish you could, where you're at now, you could just use some of those skills and morph some of the guys into sheep? Just snap your fingers and they become sheep, and they're like, yeah, they're not going to bother me anymore. So you mentioned the 20-year thing. You're in there, or 17 years or whatever it is, and you've done three. So you're looking
It's a 20-year sentence, but it's 17.
Okay.
At 85%.
Okay. So you're looking at 2039. You even wrote on your profile, hey, let's plan something for 2039, which is great. Looking ahead to that. And in the meantime, I mean, you mentioned in an email to me that your facility is one of the more violent facilities in Oklahoma. So, I mean, do you get time out to do anything productive? Is there anything you're doing program-wise?
There's very little program-wise here. And everything that there is associated with the religion, which I'm not going to get involved with. I feel like that's a constitutional issue. But
isn't that is funny? Like they tout the separation of church and state, but then there you are in a state facility and they push religion on everybody. Yeah. That is strange.
I'm on a list to do college, but they only let six people do it at a time. So it could be years. You asked about what I've done productive. I have started writing. I actually was in an accident and both my feet were broken.
Oh.
So I had a lot of time on my hands. I wasn't able to work. And so I started writing, and I've actually completed a novel a few months ago.
Oh, that's awesome. Right, what's the novel called?
I called it the Limpopo Saga. There's a river in Africa. It's the Limpopo River.
Okay.
Which is near where I was.
Is that book, by the way, is that published now? Can people go and purchase that, or are you still working on that part?
I'm still working on that part. I got to get somebody to type it for me. I've mailed it out handwritten.
Okay. That's amazing, man.
So
I admire that so much because I told myself in the time I was doing, I started to write two books and I was like, I'm going to write my book. You know, everyone talks about, and I got like 30 pages done and just quit. Yeah. Never got past like 30 pages in 11 years, you know? So it's like, that's freaking admirable that you can like actually finish, and now you're doing some short stories and some poetry and some other stuff with writing.
Right now I'm working on a short story it's kind of like a mystery within a mystery, but all my short stories, they all have a secular Christmas theme. They have a certain character I created called Steve the Reindeer. Just to teach different life lessons for my son, because I'm not there to do it in person, and just I'm trying to find ways to do that from here.
How old was he when you got arrested?
Five.
Oh, man. That's hard.
Yeah. I'm just really glad that I at least got the first 5 years with him. I think that time is crucial.
Can you keep in touch? Like, are you able to talk on the phone, or is that not an option?
Yeah, it's hard for me to catch him, but I usually talk to him at least 4 or 5 times a week.
Man, because a lot of times, I mean, I hear this a lot. We talk to a lot of people here on the podcast, and we hear a lot of bitter exes, ex-wives, ex-girlfriends, and they're just like, no, I'm never going to let you talk to my son again. And it becomes a real horrible situation for everybody. So I'm glad that you're able to do that. I wanted to ask about like your support, and as far as like your own family and friends after this happened. I know that can shock a lot of people. I know your mom has called us and worked with, you know, spoken to us, and she's out there supporting you. And do you have other friends or family that are still on your side after all of this?
My parents, they're divorced, but they have supported me, and my son and his mom. We were separated before the situation, but we had remained friends. I'm sure part of her hates me for it, but she's been really great.
Yeah, that just helps so much. Not just for you, but that's like good for everybody. That's good for your son. That's good for her own mental health as well. It's just better when people can at least get along and not hate.
And then I have one friend from since I was a teenager that I've recently reconnected with. I get to talk to him once a week, so that's really nice.
We got to find you some more friends. And now we wanted to mention your tattoos. I know you got a lot of them.
The first one is my chest piece. I got it in Vegas. It's an angel. I just really liked it. He's like a scantily clad dark angel. I don't think of it as an angel like celestial.
Okay.
It's just more of a reminder of what I want.
What's the like most fun thing? Do you have any animals based on that experience?
Yeah, I have a few animals. I have a rhino that's on top of the whole continent of Africa. Technically, the tattoo was planned prior to this, but I think as a tribute to one of the rhinos I took care of when I was in Africa named Sabi. Unfortunately, when I was on my way to get the tattoo in New York, I got word that he got poached right after I left.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was pretty heartbreaking.
Oh, that's horrible.
I like to think of it as... Yeah.
I hate hearing that stuff, man.
And then I have a giraffe, which is a tribute to the male giraffe that I worked with named Bogey at the Oklahoma City Zoo. There was a period where he kept getting progressively sicker, and we tried many different things, and nothing was helping him. And that was a last-ditch effort. We wanted to force him into a chute, which we had a custom giraffe chute, which is basically something just to squeeze them down so that they can't move, but they're comfortable. It's padded. So that we can do veterinary care without anesthetizing them. If you don't know, it's really dangerous to anesthetize a giraffe because of the shape and the size of their body, that a lot of times, like their lungs could collapse. But anyway, we sedated him. It's kind of like pushing a drunk giraffe around, except he was pretty angry about it. So it was definitely a dangerous situation. One of the few moments that I would say I was definitely scared being in with an animal. We got to the point where we had to open the second door so he would think he could get through, which, of course, with his long neck, he instantly got leverage on the second door to prevent it from closing in his face. And so it became my task to run around in front of him and lasso him, which is the first and only time I've ever lassoed an animal, but it was successful, and I managed to control his head enough that we were able to get the door shut. As the veterinarians are drawing blood and doing radiographs, then was my job to go up the ladder and be face-to-face with him and control his head. So I'm talking to him, and he's doing really good, and we're face-to-face, nose-to-nose. And right when they start to do the radiographs of that area, he basically vomits into my mouth.
Oh, no.
And if I were to react, he would react. So I had to just sit there and take it. The next day, I went to Kansas City to go see a Steelers game. Right before the game, I got a phone call saying that he died overnight.
Oh, man.
That is the first time I ever sobbed uncontrollably in my life.
That's got to be such a hard profession because there's just so much. I mean, I'm sure you've had happy stories too and saved a lot of it, but man, each time for something sure. Like that's gonna be so hard.
There is somewhat of a happy ending to the story though, because about a year later his mate Ellie gave birth to his child.
Oh wow.
He must have done his thing right before he died.
Yeah, he knew he was going out. He said, I'm gonna die with a smile at least, right?
Right, right. So.
Oh, that's great. That's a great ending. And he passed the legacy on to the family, to the children. And
I learned recently that his daughter just had a baby.
So he'd be a grandpa now. What was his name?
His name was Bogey.
I want to add that to your pen pal profile, Matt. I want to say, because you wrote all that stuff. It was a long profile. It was good, but we didn't write that a giraffe vomited in your mouth, which I feel like people would be impressed by that, really. Speaking of pen pals, like who would you be most interested in? So they're going to go on to penpals.buzz. They're going to search Matthew Reynolds, 201-4486. Great Plains Correctional Center in Oklahoma. And when they find you on there and they sign up on securistech.net and start messaging you, what type of person are you hoping to connect with?
I mean, I'm open to anyone. Ideally, it's somebody that's open-minded and understanding and willing to be open with me about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'll answer any question. And in a perfect world, you know, I'd find somebody to fall in love with, but I don't expect that at all. I don't know how I could ask that somebody, given my situation. I don't know why somebody would want that.
More important than that is just take some time to get to know you, learn who you really are,
right. Exchange
some letters, and then all that stuff will come if it's supposed to be, if it's meant to be. It's going to come, you know, maybe a year down the road, maybe 2 years, but when the first letter, they're like, I want to marry you, Matt. When that happens in the first letter, we call that a red flag out here. I don't know what they call that in Oklahoma, but in California, that's like a bright red flag. So be careful. What about, people always say, what about men? And doesn't have to be a gay thing, but I mean, if some just interesting guys want to write, are you into that at all? Or is it just women only here?
I mean, I prefer women, but I am open to anyone. I need somebody that's real and that can actually communicate.
Right.
I can hear with people that I can't have a conversation with without risking getting stabbed because I disagreed with them or something.
I know Securus is so much faster and easier. I also know it's a little bit harder to have like the heartfelt letter exchanges through an app on a phone or whatnot. But I also know that if someone were to write you a long, thoughtful letter, what do? They scan it and email it to your tablet or something? Is that what happens?
Basically, yeah. It gets to Dallas, and then I'll get it within 7 to 50 plus days.
It's sad to me because I used to write long letters and get long letters, and I've seen with Securus and some of the others, people might write 3 sentences. Hey, how are you? LOL. It seems a little more challenging to be on an app where it feels like you're texting and be able to essentially text your life story when people are used to just this quick back and forth, which that's great too. Ultimately, you can end up on the phone having long, heartfelt conversations. So it doesn't have to be so much the letters anymore because phone calls are like cheaper now than stamps.
It's supposed to be cheaper, but they're not enforcing the law here.
So
we didn't want to have the Securus having a financial issue, so they put it on us.
They're bankrupt right now, so maybe they're hoping you guys in Oklahoma can help pull them out of their financial troubles. Yeah, because they're struggling bad. But the problem is you leave them, you end up on Viapath with getting out, and then that crap's even worse. So it's like the lesser of two evils. I guess you should just be happy with what you've got. For now.
I get it.
Yeah, securistech.net and Matt Reynolds, Matthew Reynolds, 201-4486. Somebody just wrote in to ask, because a lot of people want to know about the jobs that are there, and you mentioned washing the dishes, and you work at night, but every state seems different. What do they actually pay somebody there that works in the kitchen? Like, is it like a hourly, or is it just a monthly thing, or how does the pay go down?
I do not get paid. I don't get paid.
Oh, so you have to work free? Do you get any benefit from working, or is it just something to do for fun?
The only benefit that I get is to be on the workers' unit.
Oh, okay.
So essentially, I am a slave working for my safety.
I feel like we're ending on a depressing note, but Matt Reynolds, man, I appreciate you calling the Prison Pen Pal podcast, and I hope all the ladies from 18 to 55 are going to be messaging you tomorrow.
Or older.
Or 75. Okay.
Why not?
Take care of yourself.
All right, thank you. You too.
For the new year, order your loved one a Pen Pal profile from penpals.buzz. It's an affordable and fun gift that everyone will appreciate. Email help@penpals.buzz for more info. Penpals.buzz.
Thank you for calling Pen Pal.
Morgan.
Yeah.
Are you three-waying it?
Yeah, I'm three-waying it.
Well, what's taking you so long?
Hello?
Hi, yes, how can we help you?
Okay, hi, is this penpal.buzz?
Yes.
Okay, listen, I just had my people pay for, like, the gold package, I think, like, last night.
Uh-huh.
I think she might have paid for it twice. Can you look and see?
I do see that she did pay for that gold profile twice.
Okay, but look, though, because, like, she did it kind of, like, without me telling her what to do, because I was looking at the, like, the brochure and shit. So, if you pay for the gold package, boom, it's like a year, right? But then, like, you could pay for, like, some advertising thing, right? Like, on Facebook or something, right? Yeah, you do that type of shit. Instead of me repaying for it, maybe I could just use that, or would you have to refund it and then I'd, like, separately pay for the advertising part, too?
We can just put that as a credit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's do that. Let's just do the credit part. Boom. Okay, do you see the picture she put on there?
I do.
Which one's the profile picture? Am I standing up, like flexing my arms?
I think you're kneeling down, it looks like.
All right, yeah, I don't want that as the profile picture. Do you see the one I'm like standing up, like flexing my arms?
Yeah.
I want that one as the profile picture. She's going to send you another one where I got sunglasses on, okay? So like, how does the advertising thing work on Facebook? Like it says like 10,000 subscribers or some shit you guys have? Like, and I can send them to directly where and shit?
I believe they'll put you into three groups on Facebook.
And it's $60 to do that?
That one's only $30.
Okay, so, like, at the end of my bio, does it have, like, because I have, like, a text or phone number that they can reach me at, and then I also have, like, an email they can reach me at. Is that on there?
No, it's not on there.
Okay, so, like, I'm in the feds, you know what I'm saying, at Big Sandy. Do you have that information?
We have that information.
Do you have, like, an email that I could, like, contact you at personally, like, through Corelinks or some shit?
This call is from a federal prison.
Okay, I'm sorry. These motherfuckers are loud as shit. Hey, Morgan, how long have we been on the phone?
12 minutes.
All right, could you hold on 1 second?
Yeah.
So, like, where do you get the most hits off of, for real? Like, off of the, like, the Facebook shit or what? The phone just beeped, so Morgan's gonna, could you give her your information so she can send you that other picture?
Yeah.
And then I think we're gonna do the Reddit and the Facebook one. That, like, you don't need any additional information, right?
No, I don't need any additional information.
I really appreciate it. You've been, like, really helpful, man. I appreciate it, you know, a lot. It means a lot. All right, thank you.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back soon with another edition of the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. Penpals.buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.